Praise the Lord. Please, in 30 seconds, I want you to just close your eyes and just tell God how good He is. Just appreciate Him. Just like that song said, just tell Him. Tell Him how good He is. Just appreciate Him. Worship Him. You can call Him whatever name you want to call Him. Let Him hear your voice. Tell Him how good He is to you. Just go ahead and talk to Him. Appreciate Him for who He is. Not because of what He has done or what He has not done, but because of who He is. Give Him praise, give Him praise. Go ahead and appreciate Him. Just thank Him for who He is. I'm not saying thank Him for what He has done, but thank Him for who He is. Just think about it, that God, I thank You for who You are, for what You represent in my life. In Jesus' name we pray. And so, Father, we just thank You once again for who You are. Thank You for always showing Yourself in our lives. Thank You for revealing Yourself at all times. Father, we say thank You in the name of Jesus. Holy Spirit, as we go into Your word today, Lord, I pray You speak to us in the name of Jesus. We pray You teach us to know You more in the name of Jesus. We pray You continue to reveal Yourself to us in the name of Jesus. And at the end, let all glory be Yours. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Please be seated. Praise the Lord. Is that about the Impact Choir? I appreciate God for them. I pray God will continue to uphold in the name of Jesus. Praise the Lord. And also we want to thank our pastor, our main pastor, for this platform called Next. It's not because we know anything, but pastor has just been supporting us. Even when we make mistakes, he will still support us. So we thank you, sir. We appreciate what you do. You know, praise the Lord. So before we go into the sermon, I need you to look at the person beside you and ask the person, who is God to you? Make sure you get an answer. And make sure you give your own answer too. You can look at the next person. Same question, who is God to you? Wait, make sure you get an answer. And give your own answer too. Praise the Lord. I pray God will reveal Himself to us in Jesus' name. Let's go into the sermon. How much of Him do you know? Matthew chapter 16, verse 13. Matthew 16, are we from verse 13? When Jesus came to the coast of Caesarea Philippi, He asked His disciples, saying, whom do men say that I, the Son of Man, am? And they said, some say thou art John the Baptist, some Elias, and others Jeremiah, and all one of the prophets. Imagine people comparing Jesus Christ to just one of the prophets. Verse 15. And He said to them, but whom do you say ye that I am? And Simon Peter answered and said, thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. And Jesus answered and said to him, blessed art thou, Simon Bar-Jonah, for flesh and blood are not revealed it unto thee, but my Father which is in heaven. And I see unto thee that thou art Peter, and upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. Verse 19. And I will give you the key to the kingdom of heaven, and whatsoever thou shalt bind on earth shall be bound in heaven, and whatsoever thou shalt lose on earth shall be loosed in heaven. Praise the Lord. How much of Him do you know? You know, as Christians, it's normal to just come to church. You do the normal worship, we pray, and you go. But there are sometimes you need to begin to ask yourself that, who is God to me? This is what was happening in this passage. Jesus Christ had been teaching. He had turned water to wine. He had raised people from the dead. But it came to a point where we were like, wait a minute, what do these people even take me for? Who am I to you? Or what have people been saying about me? Or what is the impression that people have about me? Praise the Lord. I have heard that God's desire for man is to have a close and personal relationship with him. Revelation chapter 3 verse 20 says, behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man hears my voice and opens the door, I'll come to him and I'll sup with him and he with me. So God's desire is not for us just to come to church, get what we want and go. It's to have a personal relationship, a close relationship so that you can know him. That's his desire. The Bible says like the time comes and now is the time when the true worshipers shall do what? Worship the Father in truth and in spirit. Because Lord seeks such worship him. Praise the Lord. So the revelation of Jesus Christ as the Son of the living God is the foundation of our Christian faith. The revelation that Jesus Christ, if you don't know anything about him now, just know that. The revelation that Jesus Christ is the Son of the living God, that's the foundation of our Christian faith. That's the beginning. If you look at that passage that we read, Matthew 16, verse 16. Matthew chapter 16, verse 16. Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. Please go to 18. And I said to thou, Peter, upon this rock will I build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. Upon this rock will I build my church. You know, we've been taught growing up that Peter the rock, and I'm not disputing that. I even read somewhere that I think in Hebrew it means rock. His name, that's not, I'm not disputing that. But what Jesus Christ was saying here, you know, that sometimes you can get different understanding. Please put that passage back. That upon this rock will I build my church. That is the foundation of our faith. Which rock was Jesus Christ talking about? We can say it's Peter. That's one. But what, you know, a rock represents something that is solid, that cannot shake, that you cannot doubt it. So Jesus Christ is saying the fact that Jesus Christ is the Son of the living God, that is what the church will be built upon. And that's what separates us from other religions. You know, I was talking to one of the guys who work. He said, you know, Christians and Muslims, you are the same. I said, no, we are not. He said, well, we serve the same God. I said, no, we are not. What I know is that Jesus Christ is the Son of the living God. And that's the foundation. And that's what Jesus, that revelation that Jesus Christ is the Son of the living God, that's what even starts us as Christians. Praise the Lord. So having a true knowledge of God is what separates a believer from an unbeliever or even a churchgoer. Having a true knowledge of God is what separates a believer from an unbeliever, even a churchgoer. This next one is scary. So it is possible. Look at what Jesus Christ was telling them. What do people say that I am? And he said, some said you're Elijah, some said you are this and that. He said, okay, leave people alone. You, the church people, my people, who do you think I am? And why was Jesus Christ asking that? Because it is possible to be active in church and yet not know him. And that's the dangerous part. Or you think you are so busy, matter, you have been so busy about so many things. But Mary has chosen the right one. Sometimes, as because we work, you get lost in that work. I'm not saying it's wrong to work. It's very good. But what's the essence of working and making enemies, even while working for God? So what's the essence of working for God and making enemies? So it's possible to be active. The Bible says, I bear them witness that they have a zeal of God, but not according to knowledge. So it's possible to be so active. And when I was preparing this, I got scared myself because God help us. So I'm still talking about how much of him do you know. So your knowledge of a product determines how many of its qualities you can make use of. One day I was with some friends. And one of them needed to scan a document. So we're like, oh, I need to get the scanner. Do you know where we can get the scanner? I said, oh, bring it. Then I bought out my phone, I bought out my scanner app. I scanned it for him and I emailed to him. He also had an iPhone with him. So what am I trying to say? You can have an iPhone. To some, all you can do with the iPhone is to make a phone call. Praise the Lord. Some people can make phone calls and send emails. If you give some of the teenagers your phone, you'll be shocked what they can do with it. What am I saying? What you know about God will determine what you can do with him. You can have God and not know that this is when I'm meant to make use of God. Because you don't even know, even though God is right there with him. If you know God as your healer, then you know that when you're sick, you need to call your healer. But maybe you know him as your healer, but you don't know him as the one that can bless you. So when you're not blessed, you're only focusing on the healing part because you don't know him as that blessing part. So what you know about God will determine what you can make use of him. As we Christians see God from different perspectives. To some, he's a miracle worker. To some, he's a promise keeper. I'm not singing sin at here. I'm just explaining. Praise the Lord. But God is way more than that. I need you to tell a person beside you, God is way more than that. See, what you know about him, God is way, way, way more than that. How do I know? In Romans 11, verse 33. Romans 11, verse 33. The Bible says, oh, the depth of the knowledge of the riches and the wisdom of God. Oh, the depth of the riches of both the wisdom and the knowledge of God. How unsearchable are his judgments and his ways past finding out. I need you to take note of that passage because I'll come there. Oh, the depth of the riches of both the wisdom and the knowledge of God. Bible is trying to say, you know, the more you try to learn about him, the more you realize there's still more to know. The more you know about him, the more you realize it's so deep. And Bible is saying, how unsearchable are his judgments and his ways past finding out. I'll come there, but please take note of that. Praise the Lord. So your knowledge of God also determines how much God can do through you. And I want to explain this. Because when I was praying this, God gave me this inspiration. It's a popular verse that we know, Ephesians 3 verse 20. Before we do that, how many of us believe knowledge is power? Okay. Thank God. So Ephesians 3 verse 20, let's look at this. Now unto him that is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or think. Hold on. So what the Bible is saying here is God's ability is not in question. There is no, you can't question, unto him he is able to do, what he can do is not in question. But there's a caveat there. According to the power that works in us. So what God can do through you is dependent on the amount of power you carry. And if you remove that power and you put knowledge, so you can correctly say what God can do through you is dependent on this knowledge that you have. You know, when I was praying this and my mind just went to Pastor Deboye, and he'll be like, my daddy said, and you'll be wondering what's going on, like, how can he be just talking like that? It shows a level of knowledge. There's a level of knowledge. That's why some people can cure headache. Some people can pray for the blind to see. Different levels of knowledge. Because, God's ability is not in question here. What will determine what he can do through you or for you is the amount of knowledge that you have. You know, I grew up in Nigeria. So for some of us that grew up in Nigeria, you realize sometimes you bring that current. And if you're not careful, you'll just mess up all your electronic devices you have at home. So we had something like they call stabilizer. That way, when they bring high current, it will stabilize it to what your TV can carry. When they bring low current, it will stabilize it to what your TV can carry. So the current is not the problem. The problem is your electronic, what you have at home. How much of the current can you withstand? It's the same thing with God. What God can do is not in doubt. But what will determine what he will do? Because God will not give you what you cannot handle. So your level of knowledge will determine what he will do with you. Praise the Lord. So there's a big difference between what people say about God. That's what I was asking. That some say you are this. You know, it's enough for you to hear about him. That this is what Pastor told us God is. That's good. There's a big difference between, I'm sharing my own testimony. And there's a big difference between what people say about God and what we personally know about him. There's a difference between people telling you about God and you experiencing him personally. There are two different things. People can say so many things about him. But what differentiates that or what confirms that is your own personal experience of him. Praise the Lord. So why do we need to know him? We need to know him because God wants us to know him. In Matthew 16 verse 3, why would Jesus Christ come and say, what do people think about me? What do people think about me? You know, when I was praying this, I just remembered some weeks ago, my son goes for a class on Saturday morning. So I was taking him to the class, and my daughter was like, "Oh, Daddy, I need to follow you." I said, "Oh, that's nice." She never used to think of following me to drop him off. So we're going, she said, and we'll buy donuts. I said, okay. So we bought donuts and went back home. So when it was time to go pick him by 11, I said, "Oh, Faye, do you want to come?" She said, "No, I want to watch my iPad." So I told her, I said, "This girl just used me to buy donuts," and she was done. I know sometimes some of us are like that with God. We just come, "God, this is what I want. Once you get it, you're off." And God is more than that. God is saying, "I want you to know me." Not just because some of us have taken God to, we've turned him to an ATM. That just come, receive, go. That's all we do. But God wants us. That's what he was asking. I was thinking, "Oh, so this guy just feels, once you've gotten donuts, that's it." And I'm thinking of your college. I'm thinking of so many things. And some of us are like that with God. Just because of that one you want, you focus more on that and living that part of you knowing him. So God wants us to know him. Praise the Lord. Why do we not need to know him? Because knowing God gives you dominion. In Matthew chapter 16, verse 19 that we read. So, 16 verse 19. "And I will give you unto thee the keys of the kingdom of heaven. And whatsoever thou shalt bind on earth shall be bound in heaven." See, there are some doors that you can never open yourself. No matter how strong you are, there's a limit to where your strength can take you to. But what the Bible is saying here is, "I'll give you keys." That means there are some doors that only a spiritual key can open. Say that whatsoever you bound on earth shall be bound in heaven. When I was praying this, and you know why I remembered, sorry, I don't know how to say this. There was a time, I think they did a surprise birthday for mommy. And mommy didn't like it or something like that. So Pastor came and Pastor said, "Mommy has forgiven you, so God has forgiven you." So that touched my mind. But do you know that's scriptural? Because it says, "Whatsoever you bind on earth shall be bound in heaven." So that means there's a point of knowledge of God that you get to. That's why someone like Babadi will say, "God forgive you." And God is actually forgiving you because he's already speaking the mind of the Father. He's at that point where he knows the mind of the Father, so he's saying what the Father is saying. Praise the Lord. So there is more to it because it gives you keys to the kingdom of... So that means you can command so many things based on the knowledge, because you are not speaking out of knowledge. You are speaking the mind of the Father. So when you are commanding, you are not just saying what you want. You are saying what God wants to happen. Because at a point, you are operating at the same frequency. You know his mind. You know what it's saying at that point, so you can come with those keys. Praise the Lord. So it gives you dominion, knowing God. I hope I'm communicating. Praise the Lord. Why do we need to know him? It gives us access to a different realm of abundance. And I'll explain this. Matthew 16, verse 19 says, "I'll give you keys to the kingdom of heaven." But this is what I want to stress out. The same Peter that described Jesus Christ here, you know, when Jesus Christ met him, he said, "Master, we have toiled all night. By thy word, we'll cast the net." And when they did that, they caught so many fishes, they had to call people to come and help them out. That was when he met Jesus. But if you look at Matthew chapter 17, one of my friends explained this to me recently. And you know, there's a way God works. I was praying this message, and when he was talking about that, he just clicked that, yeah, that's what I was preparing. If you look at Matthew chapter 17, verse 27. Matthew chapter 17. After Peter had confirmed Jesus Christ, Matthew 17, verse 27. Said, "Notwithstanding, lest you know," this happened when the tax collectors came. They were asking them for their tax, "So pay your taxes." So look at what Jesus Christ told. He said, "Notwithstanding, lest you offend them. Go to the sea," he was talking to Peter, "cast an hook and take up the fish that first cometh out." It says the first fish. "And when you open the mouth, thou shalt find a piece of money." Peter had been a fisherman before. So before, when they were catching, before, you would catch the fishes, sell them to make money. It got to a point based on his relationship with Jesus Christ. Jesus said, go to the river. The first one you catch, don't sell it this time. In that fish, that money is inside. There's a different realm of revelation from God that it takes that knowledge to come. A lot of other fishermen could be catching the fish and be selling. But even in that fish, the first one, the money that they are going to look for is inside. There are some things that you cannot know them except the Holy Spirit reveals them to us through his knowledge. And that's what differentiates. You see two people looking at the same thing but getting different results. Because God is already inspiring someone. I'm sure there were other fishermen there that were catching fishes there. But one had the unction to open the mouth that there is money in it. Money in it. That means what you are doing, there's something hidden that it takes God that can reveal to you. There's something hidden. You know, when we did Impact Conference, for those of you that didn't come in November, the owner of Givelify, is the CEO of Givelify, he was giving us, sharing his testimony of how he started that app. That's an app that they've processed almost $3 billion in transactions. He said he went to church, he had not gotten married then, with his girlfriend then, and needed to pay to time for offering, and he realized he didn't come with his pocket, with his wallet. So he left his wallet at home. And that inspired him that there has to be a way to give offering in church without having your wallet. And we use it now. We use Givelify to give in our church. That's where the inspiration came from. What am I saying? He was not the first person that forgot his wallet at home. A lot of people forgot their wallets at home. It must have happened to so many people. But someone got that inspiration. That's why God told Jesus Christ told Peter, you've been catching fish before, I know that. But that same fish, go and catch it this time. Don't sell it to pay the taxes. Open the mouth. Open the mouth. There's something inside. So there's an inspiration that comes through the knowledge of God. Praise the Lord. So it gives us a different realm of abundance. Number four, it qualifies us for grace. The knowledge of God qualifies us for grace. How do I know? You know, when Jesus told Peter, he said, the devil asked for you, but I have prayed for you. Not because Peter was perfect. He was far from being perfect. But at that point where his strength could not carry him, because of the knowledge of God, that grace stood for him. And that's what differentiates Peter from Judas. Bible scholars can go and research. But when I was praying, this is what came to my mind. That's what differentiates Peter from Judas Iscariot. The two of them were flawed. But grace stood for someone, for one. How do I know? In 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 2. It says, grace and peace be multiplied unto you. How? Through the knowledge of God and of Jesus Christ our Lord. So you want to live a life of grace? Seek that knowledge of God. You want to live a life of grace? Seek to know him more. Tell the person beside you, seek to know him more. Seek to know him more. Enough of you asking. You can say that too. Enough of you asking. Seek to know him more. The fifth point I want to share, why we need to know him. Your knowledge of God confirms your own identity to you. In that process of trying to know God, God reveals yourself to you. You know, I hear people saying, I'm still trying to discover myself. A lot of young people, I'm still trying to figure out what I want to do. I'm still trying to figure out my future. That way that you're trying to figure out about yourself, by your act of seeking to know God, it reveals you to you. Look at what happened in that passage, Matthew chapter 16, verse 18. After Jesus Christ has said, you are the Son of the living God, what happened? And I say unto you, that thou art what? He had been Peter before. But Jesus Christ confirmed it to him. That because you know me, this is who you are. So you want to know yourself, know him first. You want to figure out your own life, what to do with your life. Know him. And he will reveal you. It's confirmed. He said, thou art Peter. You know, if that was not necessary, Jesus Christ would not have said it, because he had known him before. But Jesus Christ confirmed to you that because you know me, because you said this is who I am, this is who you are too. So you want to figure out your future, your career, your maritals, everything. Seek to know him, and he'll confirm who you are to you. Praise the Lord. So your knowledge of God will confirm your own identity to you. Are we following? So how then can we know him? Or what can we do to know him? And I'll spend a few minutes with this. Because it's important to know him. We've already established that. We've established that knowing God confirms our own identity. So how then can we know him? The first point I want to share is we need to have that desire to know him. It doesn't come by chance. Which is something I feel like, you know, as Christians, we get carried away because of what we are trying to achieve, what we want to get. But there's a personal desire that, God, I just want to know you. It's a prayer point that, God, I need you to show me who you are. Reveal who you are to me. You know, people say a lot, and I've heard a lot about you. That's why Jesus Christ was saying, what have they been saying about me? But what of you, you that you're close to me? I need you to know what you know about me. So you need to have that personal desire to know him. You know, the psalmist said in Psalm 63 verse 1. Psalm 63 verse 1 to 2. It says, oh God, thou art my God. Early will I seek thee. My soul does what? Thirst for you, and my flesh longs for you. So there has to be that longing, that desire to know him. It doesn't come by chance. You know, I won't just open my house, the door of my house to you. I have, you know, life, things are changing right now. If anybody even comes to my house, I'll get the alert on my phone. But the way I've done that, people that come, I have security code for all of them. So if grandma enters with a code, I know it's grandma. If I know everybody, because you'll tell me that grandma is entering, baby sister is entering, I'll know. Because you don't just give access to your house anyhow. The same thing with God. There has to be that personal desire to know him. You can't know God by chance. Tell the person, you can't know God by chance. You have to desire him. To know God, you need to develop a personal relationship with him. If you look at that story, it was Peter that said, you are the Son of the living God. But before then, when Jesus Christ told them to go, let's go to the other side, and Jesus was walking on the sea, who called to walk with him? Bible scholars. Peter. He said, if you are God, command me to come and walk with you. So you will realize that Peter had been taking those steps to know him. He says, you are God. Command me to walk like you, the way you are walking on this water. I want to walk like you. So there has to be that desire to know him and building that personal relationship with him. Let me bring this home. Please, show of hands. How many of us know the pastor of this church? When you see him, you know him. Praise the Lord. How many of us know his name? Full name. Full name. The hands are reducing. Praise the Lord. How many of us know his favorite football team, soccer team? The hands are reducing. How many of us know where he eats this afternoon once he gets home? Mommy is saying it. So this is what I'm trying to point out. You know, when I ask about pastor, if you know him physically, a lot of people raise up their hands. When I ask about his favorite soccer team, the hands reduced. When he got to the personal one about what you eat this afternoon, I heard mommy. Mommy was probably whispering it. So there's a different level of knowledge of pastor from what the whole church knows to what people that have been around know and to what mommy knows. Why? Different levels of relationship. And same applies to God. What you know about God is dependent on how much time you spend with him. The Bible says the secrets of the Lord, Psalm 25 verse 14, the secrets of the Lord are with those that fear him. And those are the people who do what? Show his commandments or show his covenants. The secrets of the Lord are with those that fear him, and he'll show his covenant. So there is God has secrets. That other passage is telling us. God has secrets, but they are not for everybody. So the secrets of the Lord are with those that fear. If you look at that passage that we read, Matthew 16, if you go to verse 21, Matthew 16, verse 21. This is after, you know, it was verse 16, 17, 18, 19 that Jesus confirmed. Look at what happened in verse 21. He said, from that time forth, Jesus began to do what? Show. After they confirmed him that this is who he is, he began to show them. So those things that Jesus Christ was planning to do, after the confirmation of who he is, he began to show them that now I must go. So God reveals his plans to his own people, people that know him. Because I won't just tell you about myself. I won't just give you my secrets anyhow. Same thing with God. Bible says, from that time forth, after that confirmation of who he is, he began to show them. So that means he was not showing them his plans before. How he was going to die or resurrect. That wasn't coming up until he got that confirmation that, yes, these people know me. Now I can tell you what I am going to do. So building that relationship with God opens up those secrets of him to us. Praise the Lord. 2 Corinthians chapter 2 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 18. I like this passage. But we, with open face, beholding as in a glass the glory of God, are changed into the same image from glory to glory. And that passage is as we behold him in the mirror, like we are being transformed. So there's a transformation that comes because of that fellowshipping with him. I don't want to say this. I don't know how to put this in. Where I grew up from, they said, when the leaf spends so much time with the soap, the leaf becomes soap. If you understand what I'm trying to say. So the more time you spend, that's what that passage is saying. As you behold him as in the mirror, there's a transformation that comes. So you begin to talk like him because you spend so much time with him. That way you can know so more with him because of how much time you spend with him. Praise the Lord. So I said you need to desire to know him. You need to develop a personal relationship with him. We need to live by the Spirit of God. The Holy Spirit, and this is what a lot of people still find. They are still struggling with it. The Holy Spirit reveals God to us. Because the Holy Spirit himself is God. So how can you know God without the Holy Spirit? The Holy Spirit can tell you about God because he himself is God. That's why Jesus Christ said, flesh and blood has not revealed this to you. So you cannot know God from your own personal understanding or the way you think or the way you act or the way you see the world. Flesh and blood, your flesh and blood, things around you cannot reveal this to you. 1 Corinthians chapter 2, I know we've read this before, verse 9. But I want to explain something. 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 9. Bible says, eye has not seen, ear has not heard, neither has he entered the hearts of man, the things which God has prepared for them that love him. Continue. Verse 10. But God had revealed them to us by his Spirit, for the Spirit searches how many things? All things, even what? Hold on. Remember when we read Romans 11, verse 33? If you can go back to Romans 11, verse 33, we read that before. Romans 11, verse 33. The Bible was saying, oh, the depth, how deep are the riches of his wisdom and knowledge? How unsearchable. Because those wisdom are so deep and unsearchable. But the same Bible is now telling us in 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 10, that even those deep things that are unsearchable, the Holy Spirit reveals them. Even those deep things that you think you cannot know, because the Bible was saying, this is using the Bible to explain the Bible. Even that part that the Bible was saying is deep, the Holy Spirit can still bring them out. So what is that deep thing that you are trying to understand? The Holy Spirit can bring them out. Amen. Praise the Lord. It says, how deep, but revealed to us, for the Spirit searches all things, even the deep things of God. One of my favorite passages, verse 14. It says, a natural man, 1 Corinthians 2, verse 14, cannot receive the things of the Spirit of God because they are foolishness. So your natural person cannot understand God. Bible says, neither can he know them because they are spiritually discerned. So it takes the power of the Holy Spirit for him to reveal those secret things about God to us. So you want to know God? Live by the Spirit. Allow the Holy Spirit to direct you. Let's start being conscious of the Holy Spirit. You know, I went to visit one of my friends yesterday. I was a bit down in the evening because, but I thank God for him because he was one of my close friends. He said one day he just woke up and the passage that came to his mind was every tree that my father has not planted, that God should uproot them. So he began to pray about it. He didn't know why he was praying. With his wife, they were praying. All of a sudden, he said some weeks after, he went for a test, and they realized there was a cell that they had to remove immediately, urgently. You know, it was, thank God they detected it early. It was meant to be cancer. But before that came, the Holy Spirit already told him that this is what I want you to. He said he didn't even know why that prayer point came. He had no clue what was going on. But it was clear in his mind that that was the line. He just woke up that morning and he had that heaviness that God told me to be praying about this. And just started praying. Sometimes the Holy Spirit is revealing those things that we don't know. But we are not conscious enough. Yesterday we just prayed together. We just thank God. That, yes, thank God for victory. Because if you are not detected early, you know, maybe we'll be saying something. And he's one of my very close friends. So the Holy Spirit is there to reveal those secret things that we don't know. The Holy Spirit can reveal them. Praise the Lord. How do we know him? We need to learn to dig deeper into the word of God. You know, we can't say this enough, but with my little experience, I've seen that I can read a passage 5 times and God can give you 5 different interpretations. And you can read it 10 times and you can still get 10 different interpretations. So knowing God, because God himself is the word. So the way you can know him more is to spend more time. Not just the daily. You know, sometimes we read, I have this alert on my phone at work. So once it's 1 o'clock, you just read the Bible. That's the way I set it on my calendar. And just. But that's not the one I'm talking about. I'm talking of the one that, you know, you get that inspiration and you begin to think about it. You begin to allow the Holy Spirit to give you that explanation about that word. So the way you can know God more is to dedicate that time. Personal now, not general time. Personal time, I'm not saying go and read the whole Bible in one, I'm not here to tell you that. If you go and read the whole Bible in a year, very good. But I'm saying that consciousness that, okay, this is what I'm going through right now. What is the word of God about it? And you back it up. What is God saying? You know, from the Impact, I'll reference the Impact conference that we did again. When Wale Mofolashari was talking, I don't know if for people that were there, he said, he's one that commands like a company of almost 200 employees or thereabouts. And we asked him that, how do you manage your office? He said he uses biblical principle. He said, for example, if he sees that one guy is not performing, is in the Bible, the one that has 5 talents and one that has 2 talents. The one that doesn't have, is not doing anything with his talents. You collect it from him, give the other one. Said the same way Jesus Christ said in the Bible. So everything he does in the office is biblical. He just follows the biblical principle. So you realize everything about us, if you search it, there's a word of God that is attached to it. No matter how you feel that situation is or what you're thinking or what you're trying to do, how confusing it is, there is a word of God that is attached to it. We just need to align ourselves to learn that word. Now, what is God saying about me, about what I'm going through? Praise the Lord. I want us to rise up. You know, it's one thing to hear about God, but it's different to experience him yourself. So if you've not given your life to Christ before, this is a wonderful time. I want you to close your eyes, everyone, and just tell God, touch your heart, that God, today I want you to touch me and reveal yourself to me. And for those of us that think we are standing too, tell God that, God, I want to know more of you today. I want to know you more. Tell God to reveal himself to you. tell God to show you things about yourself that you do not know. You know, there are some things about yourself that you don't know, that only God can reveal. About that situation, tell God to show you things about that situation that you know about, that you don't know. If you are giving your life to Christ for the first time, just tell him that, God, today I want to have a relationship with you. I desire to know you more. More of you in my life. In Jesus' name we pray. Ephesians chapter 1, verse 18. Let's start from verse 17. Ephesians chapter 1. Verse 17. It says that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give unto you the spirit of wisdom and the revelation in the knowledge of him. I want you to turn that prayer that God, give me that spirit of wisdom and revelation of who you are. Give me that spirit. Remember, when you confirm who he is, he confirms who you are. So it's easy. You want to figure out which college to go. What Jesus Christ is saying is, when Jesus Christ reveals himself to you, he won't only reveal himself, he can reveal that college, or who that future partner is, or who that, where that job is, or what's going to. Tell God that, God, give me that spirit of wisdom and the revelation in your knowledge. You know, this is not the popular prayer point that God bless me, God, do this. What you're saying is, God, reveal that revelation. I don't know what you're going through. I don't know what is heavy on your heart. Tell God that, God, I need a revelation today. Reveal. God can reveal. Give me a revelation. In the name of Jesus. In Jesus' name we've prayed. If you look at verse 18 of that passage, Ephesians 1 verse 18, says that the eyes of your understanding been enlightened. So there are different eyes. You know, I can look at this, my brother here, the brother sitting beside the keyboard, with my natural eyes. Praise the Lord. Let's just look. Sorry, we are looking at you, sir. I can look at him. Maybe this is the person God has sent for me to achieve what I've been trying to achieve. But I can just look at him that he's a keyboardist. But it could be more than that. That's what he means by the eyes of your understanding. So there are eyes that can look at people the natural way. There is eyes of understanding. I pray someone will have that understanding today. Tell God that, God, give me the eyes of understanding. Open my eyes. He told Peter, catch that fish and open it. There is money inside. The same fish that another person would have caught that fish and killed it to eat. But God opened his eyes that there's something inside. So I want you to tell God that, God, open my eyes of your understanding. Let it be enlightened. That I may know what is the hope of my calling. So what is that stuff you are struggling with? Tell God to open your eyes of understanding. Maybe that solution is just that eyes of understanding that your eyes should open. For you to know what to do, when to do it, where to do it, the right steps to take. Tell God to open your eyes. I don't know what you are trusting God for. Tell God to open your eyes of understanding. Tell God to open your eyes.
Jesus' name we pray. I'm still standing.
Praise the Lord. Thank you, son, for that word. As you, yes. As he was speaking, the Holy Spirit reminded me of something that he wants me to share with you. He has been talking to us, but we are not understanding. 2006, in a dream, I saw a madman and I ran away in my dream. And I went into this church, and this person followed me into the church. And the Lord said, pray for him. And I prayed for him, and he was okay. So I was like, oh, is that my ministry? But I threw it away. And the Lord directed me to go and do my counseling. The day I went to apply, the day I was admitted, and I started this counseling. Today, as I stand, you know, counseling is not money making, it's a helping field. There are some things that I say to people, and it's like, did that come out of me? And God is using this mouth of mine to heal a lot of people. And that revelation came in my dream that that is the field that God wants me to go into. God is talking to somebody. He has spoken to you about what he wants you to do. And you are looking at other people and trying to do what others are doing because you think that is what will give you money. It is not. God wants you to do what he's telling you to do. And the Lord will continue to minister to you until you get it. Praise the Lord.